That prime singing. Just kidding. April Fool. Just before the message, we have a special for you. We're going to ask Brother J.M. I don't know if it's a quartet, quintet, trio, what they got, but they're going to come and sing for us. And I just tell you how the preacher is. They were going to sing during the invitation last week, and after I preach, after I get wound up, I lose everything. So I just slipped my mind completely, and I apologize greatly. But they're going to come and share with us today.
This is a song that we practiced to sing, and it's supposed to be an invitational song, but I said it's the only one we've practiced together, so we're going to sing. Is that all right? But it's a...
We did the invitation first.
Yeah, this is a good one. It ought to get us thinking right before the message, so thank the Lord. You can't hardly mess up when you're trying to do something for Him. I mean, it's hard to mess up. He takes all my messes and makes something good out of them. Ain't that great? What a blessing. Number 249, if you want to sing along with us.
Are you a soul will abide till the end.
Amen. What a blessing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Does anyone else have anything on your heart? Testimony or anything this morning? Man. Anyone else?
Yeah, sort of. On the way to church this morning, I just had some stupid stuff in my head, I'm thankful that once I get here and I start listening, that changes. That's the one thing that I'm grateful for is get a little bit of focus, I guess. And I'm glad. I started out Bible study. I just want to say thank you to the Lord and to all the people here for, and it gets your mind right, and stuff like that. And so I don't know why I said that, but I just, I'm glad that that helps me in that way. That's a big part, an important part. And I noticed some of the songs were hard to sing this morning. The songs that we sang, but just blessing.
Amen.
I need to practice.
Amen. Amen. That's what you're saying is why church is so important. If I miss a few services, I get mean. I know you find that hard to believe, but Rhonda will verify it. And I get mean. I need to be in the house of the Lord. Anyone else? Glad you're feeling better. Anyone else?
Well, I thank God for getting me through the surgery and all of my tests were denied. So praise God for that.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's all. You have your Bibles. We're going to carry on in the parables. It'll be Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. Starting at verse 6, I want to read it. First, I'll just read 6 through 9, then we'll read some more in it. But you find your place if you would stand. Everybody's found your place, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's most. Let's. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he to the dresser of the vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it or fertilize it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for this passage. Father, we just ask you that you just reveal it to our hearts today and that you'd challenge us with it. God, you'd encourage our hearts. Lord, I pray this morning that you'd open our minds up to what this passage is saying. A couple warnings and some encouragement to the believers. Father, I pray that you'd help us today. And God, it's a warning to the unbelievers. God, we love you today and praise you and ask you to Take this and use it to your glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning I titled this message, kind of catchy, Where's the Fruit? You remember the old Wendy's commercial when the little woman would roll in, Where's the beef? And I thought, Where's the fruit? We want to look at this morning and thinking on this passage. That first it said a certain man, and if we look and think, and I believe that this is speaking of God. A certain man went out and planted a vineyard and planted this fig tree. I believe that this passage, this parable, and it is talking of this being God. And the fig tree and the vineyard is the Jewish nation, but I think also the church. I believe that it talks to us as much as it's talking to the church or to Israel. And then the dresser is, I believe, Jesus Christ, as we'll see the compassion that he's had. But thinking along the lines here, in Matthew 3:8, the Bible said, John the Baptist says, Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Thinking of repentance, and it's, if we look back at verses 1 through 5, I want to go down and read this in this chapter. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they had suffered such things? I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. It's getting to the heart of the matter here that is speaking of, in this passage up here, especially these first verses, is speaking of the judgment that's coming. And the only way to miss this judgment is repentance. John said here in 3:8 that he said, Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Speaking of God's judgment, except you repent, you all likewise perish. In John 15, verse 5, the Bible says, I am the vine, ye are the branches, he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. In John 15, 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Matthew 3:10. Now this is John saying this, John the Baptist. And now also the axe is laid into the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. This is an introduction to the kingdom judgment. These are hitting in that there's a judgment coming. And one day God's going to look upon our deeds. And we've seen in the, and I thought that it was how God brought this at the same time as we was in chapter 3 of Genesis this morning, talking about Adam and Eve sinning. And that time when God walked in through the garden that day, it was different than it had ever been. The Bible said that they heard the voice of the Lord God. He'd been called God up to that point. This time he was the Lord God. He was the God of the universe. He was the God of judgment. He was the God that judges sin come in that day. And I shared with the class, and we kind of liked about it, but when James Russell Broyles, which was my daddy, walked in the house, and he said, Timothy Dwayne, I knew that we wasn't going for a jolly ride.
I knew I was in a whole heap of trouble. And that day when God walked into the garden and he said, Adam. Boy, it's a different tone. It was time to face up for what that they had done. And God had warned them not to eat of that tree. And God had told them what to do and what not to do. And they did just the opposite. And this passage here also is talking of the judgment that's coming of God. And you say, preacher, we're saved and we've been born again. Well, glory, hallelujah. But I'm still telling you, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It won't be to see if we're going to make it to heaven or not, but we'll be judged on every deed that we've done as what we've been called to do. Amen. But thinking of looking for fruit, I want to look at this situation and this story. And in verse 6 it says, a certain man had a fig tree planted in his garden. I want to look at the preparation of it. In this time, most fig trees grew along the roadside, grew wild. And they would come up and they normally was not in tilled land. They was normally not in folks' gardens. So look at the preparation here. No one normally took care of them, but this tree had been planted. This tree had probably been watered. This tree, all possibility, may have had some fertilizer put around it. This tree had some care taken over. May have even been pruned. I don't know. But this was not a wild tree outgrown. This was a cultivated, planted tree in a garden. There had been some preparation put into this tree. He just didn't throw a seed out and say, well, I hope it comes up. It had been planted. It had been put there for a specific reason. The reason was to get fruit. Now, I know we've got a lot of people that grow gardens. And Brother Harvey, I see his a lot and look at. But he don't grow a garden to have pretty vines. My daddy, now you may not believe in signs, but my daddy believed in signs. And I can't remember if a pointer's up and down. Some of you can tell me, but I remember he said, if it was a pointer's was up, I believe it was, your potatoes would be all vines. If it was down, you'd get good potatoes. Now he believed it, whether it's true or not. And he went and planted by those signs. But you didn't want to grow pretty potato vines. You want them big old taters, don't you? And the vines don't matter. And as this tree here, the leaves on it didn't matter. How many folks eat leaves? We don't go picking leaves off an apple tree, do we? Leave the apple and eat the leaf? No, we go for the fruit. See, Israel had been favored with God. Israel had been God's chosen people. Israel had the prophets. Israel had Moses. Israel had good thing I wrote it down. Now I can't find it. The patriarchs. The law was given to them. God had blessed the nation Israel. He had brought them out of bondage. He had parted the Red Sea. He had fed them with manna from heaven. He'd spoken and talked to them and given water out of a rock and brought quail in and all of these things that they had been a blessed nation. They had been a prepared people, a religious people. What about us as Christians? Have we had the blessings of God? Well, first of all, he sent the best thing heaven had to offer. His son Jesus Christ came. We've had him. We've got the Holy Scriptures. We've been revealed the things that the prophets and the ones before Jesus didn't even know. We've got it. We've got the presence of the Holy Spirit. We've got modern day technology. We've had the apostles to come and written the book. And we've had a lot of people to share the gospel and bring about. Boy, I tell you what, the United States and Christians is a blessed people. There's been a lot of preparation in for us to bear fruit. I think I said it maybe a couple services ago. God saved us so we could go to heaven. But that wasn't it. It's to bear fruit. If you want to really see the heart of God, read chapter 15 of John when you go home today. Just sit down and read that chapter. He just goes specifically that we bear fruit. But there was no fruit. What about in our lives? What is the privileged place that we're in? Are we bearing fruit? Are we fruit bearers? If the inspector come, how would he see us? How would he see us doing? Or would we be like the barren fig tree that was not producing? Might look good. Also, not the preparation, I want to look at the production. In verse 6 also, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible says, now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved, touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes or sour grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. This is God saying, I've given everything. I give them everything. I did everything for them. And still the grapes were sour. Was useless. They were wild grapes. And when he looks upon the church today, in general, the universal church of God, what does he see? Does he say, I give them everything. I've done everything for them. I give them the best heaven had to offer. I've sent the Holy Spirit, my spirit, to dwell within them. I've given them guidance and help, and look at them. What more could I have done? You think he ever says that? I believe we talked about it in Sunday school that day when God walked into the garden to bring judgment upon Adam and Eve. I believe his heart was broke. I believe it crushed him. He longed so much to have a fellowship and a relationship with mankind. And he's done so much for us. I believe we still break his heart today. See, when the story goes that I've done so much and they still no fruit. Now, mine and Rhonda's mind on raising cattle's different. Rhonda names them and makes pets out of them. And when I have a cow that don't have calves, she goes to the market or the freezer one. Anyway, she becomes hamburger meat. Not Rhonda. That's her little sweet cow. But in the vineyard, and if you're growing fruit, if it don't produce, you get rid of it. Amen? I used to have a pastor. He said, when something's dead, you bury it. You get rid of it. See, this tree probably had leaves on it. All probability, it alive probably had leaves. The leaves may have looked good. But how many's ever eat a leaf? We don't eat leaves, do we? That's not what he was looking for. See, Israel looked good in a religious system. They were very religious. They tried to keep the law. They had the temple service. They did everything, tried to obey things. And if you'd have looked at the nation Israel, you'd say, man, that's a religious bunch. Amen? And thinking too also of the church. See, Israel had the leaves of religion. They looked alive. They thought they were doing right. What's it? God said over in, Jesus told them in the first few chapters there in the book of Revelation, he said, you've got the reputation to be alive, but you're dead. You're not what you think you are. I wonder if he looks at their churches today and he says, you're not what you think you are. Amen. And with us today, do we know the difference between leaves and fruit? If we see a church that's got a lot of people, a big fine buildings, a lot of property, and a lot of things going on, we say, man, that church is doing good. How would God judge that church? We may be seeing leaves. It's the fruit that God looks at. That he gets down to the heart of the matter. We don't raise a garden for leaves. We raise a garden for fruit. Amen. Do we know the difference? See, it's more than going to church. It's more than paying our tithes. It's more than putting the best clothes on to come to church in and looking like a Christian. It's more than having a bumper sticker on our car. It's more than listening to gospel music. It's more than these things. Amen. It's about bearing fruit. Can I read you something? I'm going to anyway. How many's ever heard of the Welsh Revival? Over in England in 1904, 1905. Won't you read? What I'm going to read to you is fruit. It's fruit bearing. A revival fire spread across Wales in 1904 and 05, and within about a year and a half, it's estimated that 150,000 people was converted. Whole communities were turned upside down and radically changed from depravity to glorious goodness. The crime rate dropped often to nothing. The police force reported that they had little more to do than to supervise the coming and going of the people going to the chapel prayer meetings. The biggest thing they had to do was direct traffic. While magistrates turned up into courts to discover no cases to try. Alcohol trade was decimated. People were caught up with what was happening in the local chapels more than in the local public houses and bars. Families experienced amazing renewal, where the money-earning husband and father, the breadwinner, had wasted away the income and sowed discord, but now, under the movement of the Holy Spirit, was spent time with his families and took them to church and spent their money on right things. Men whose language had been so filthy before learnt to talk purely. And it is related that not only did the colliers put in a better day's work, but don't you get this, but the pit ponies, which were used to cussing and sworn at, that they just didn't understand the commands that had been given them now by gentle, quiet voices. They had to retrain them. The work picked up. Now the dark tunnels underground in the mines echoed with the sounds of prayers and hymns instead of oaths and nasty jokes and gossip. People who had been careless about paying their bills or paying money back they'd borrowed paid up all they owed. People who had fallen out, had become friends again. But there's fruit. There's revival. This is what God's looking for. When he looks on the churches today, I read a statistic a few years ago that said 80 or 90% of church growth come from other churches. Not the 150,000 conversions. Amen? Oh me? Verse 7, I see the protest. The husbandman or the owner told the guy, the looking over the garden. He said, just cut the tree down. I've been looking for 3 years. I've come this way 3 years and I found no fruit. How many years has God looked upon us and found no fruit? He looked through Israel all these years and no fruit. In Leviticus, I won't read it, but 19, verse 23 and 24, the Bible says that when the law was given, that when they went into the new ground, that they planted a tree and it was not to be taken for 3 years for fruit to give it time to mature. The fourth year, I'll get into what it was for in a minute, but these 3 years was time of maturity and growth. 3 years, Jesus, 3.5 years, Jesus walked on earth in his ministry. All these years of Israel. Now we've been 2,000 years with the church. Have we matured? Have we grown? Are we producing the fruit that we're to be producing? Israel did not mature or produce food. How about us? Is the Lord walk up every year and disappointed with us when he looks upon the fruit that we bear? How many folks are we seeing walk the aisle? How many folks are we running through the baptistry? How many new I've not done a new convert class in a long time. I'm preaching to the preacher. Are we pleasant in the sight of God today? Are we bearing the fruit that we're to be bearing? Or would he say, I find none? The pronouncement came in verse 7 also, who said, cut it down. Judgment had come. He said, I've spent all the money and time. Just like them old cows, I'd say, Ron, we need to get rid of that, and she ain't having calves anymore. They're not carrying her weight. It's time to cut the ties. It's just taking up ground. Wasting the ground is what the owner of the vineyard said. But boy, I'm telling you, I'm glad for verse 8. The pleading. And he answering the gardener, said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year, till I shall dig about it and dung it, fertilize it. Lord, don't, let's give it another chance. Let's give it another year. Let's give him one more time. Let's and what a beautiful picture of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He stepped up and he said, I'll take care of it. He stepped up before the beginning of time. The Bible says in the book of Revelation that when John looked and he saw as the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Before the world was ever formed, before the Garden of Eden was ever planted, God knew that man would sin. God knew that man would fall short. And Jesus said, I stepped right in before the world was ever formed and said, I'll be the sacrifice. I'll go give them another chance. Go another year. Go another mile. I'll go to the cross. I'll give my blood. I'll take their punishment. I'll do whatever needs to be done. I love them and I want them to spend eternity in heaven with us. Glory, hallelujah. What a blessed hope and a blessed promise of verse 8 that the worker in the vineyard said, Lord, give them another year. See, this parable is only in the book of Luke that speaks and where the worker, the vineyard worker said, give them another year. Only in the book of Luke is this passage also written in. Luke 23:34. Then said Jesus, and this was Jesus on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We see his interceding, his intercession for us. The Bible says he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession on our behalf right now. Every time that God looks upon us and sees something that is not right, he looks at Jesus and Jesus says, he's mine. She's mine. I died for them. They're covered by my blood. Their name's written in the Lamb's book of life. And give them another chance. Glory, hallelujah. Aren't you glad for that today? Please don't chop it down. Please leave it another year. Please let me fertilize it. Please let me do a little work a little more greater. Praise the Lord. And the postponement then in verse 9. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. We are now living in the fourth year. Mercy has been granted. We're living in the period of grace. We're living in the time that we can start bearing fruit. We're living in the time that God can change our lives. We're living in the time to make a difference in our neighborhood. We're living in a time to make a difference in our states. We're living in a time that we can make a difference all around the world. Are we doing it? Are we stepping up? Are we bearing fruit this morning? See, we're not always going to be under the period of grace. There's coming a judgment. I'd like to tell you about the love of Jesus. I'd like to tell you about His intercessory. I'd like to tell you about the mercy. I'd like to tell you about the grace. I'd like to tell you about all the good things. But I'm going to tell you what, I'm not doing my job if I don't tell you there's a payday coming. And there's one day going to come down that judgment's going to fall. The tree is going to be cut down. And while we're in this period of grace, that we need to get a hold and bear fruit and live our lives according to God's will. See, in the fourth year, the tree was not to be, the fruit got off of it for 3 years. But in the fourth year, in the book of Leviticus, the fruit that way, we were not to eat it either, but it was to be gathered and given to the praise of God and offered to Him for praise. That, we're in the fourth year. We ought to be praising Him this morning. We ought to be glorifying Him, not only in our church services. And I've said enough stuff out of the Word of God this morning, we ought to be running laps around this sanctuary. Because thank God that He didn't put the axe to the tree when we sinned. Thank God He didn't take us out before we had a chance to ask Him to forgive us of our sins. Thank God by the mercies of God that even if we're not saved today, that we've got the opportunity to be saved. Amen. And it ought to excite us, but also we ought to live in a way that praises Him, that brings glory and honor to His holy name. 2 Corinthians 6:2, the Bible says, for He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to give you just a minute. What I want you to do is make a personal inventory of yourself and ask God to reveal to our hearts, are we bearing the fruit that He has in mind for us? The expectation, are we meeting the expectations that He has as us as Christians? And ask, if you don't know for sure that you're saved this morning, ask Him that too. Let Him reveal that to you. But take just a minute as we start and she's playing. Ask God to reveal to you today. God, show me where I am. Where I am in You. And where I need to be. Touch my heart today, God, and lead me and show me where and what I need to be doing. Will you stand and we, as we sing?
Number 241,
will you stand?
I hear the Savior say,
You say, preacher, I'm right smack dab in the center of God's will. I'm doing everything he wants me to do. Praise the Lord. If you can say that this morning. If you can, I'm going to invite you to come. Ask God to rekindle and renew our devotion to him. Will you come this morning? Words powerful and sharp, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord for it. Amen. It's all hearts and minds clear. Something I found out about this Welsh revival, when it very first started out, evidently this Evan, this preacher, God disturbed him. But folks, to get it, when it got started, folks started saying, come up and give them their testimony of accepting Jesus as their Savior and what Jesus has done in their lives. That's not hard to do, is it? I think we could start kindle another one. Just tell Jesus what God's, or tell the world what God's done for you. What Jesus has done for you and what he means. That'll start a revival. Amen. Prayer and their testimony. It's all hearts and minds clear. I won't be at the back door. We're going to run out of here like somebody's after us. Amen. Good to be with you today. Hope to see you in a little bit. Love you and appreciate you so much. Thank you for everything. It's all hearts and minds clear.
Brother Richard. Joy that is there this morning, Lord. We just praise you for it.
terrible.